Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I'm one of your hosts, DM Neil, aka Joke Maniac, and I have a frequent host who in the Google Drive is an anonymous goose, but I will let him introduce himself.
Hey, it's me, the anonymous goose, also known as James Intricasso, here talking with DM Neil Powell, getting ready to work up a sweat, a mind sweat, Neil, because we're going to be talking about monsters as playable races, an episode of the DM's Block, number 147, featuring me.
Yep.
You the anonymous there. Goose.
Done. I mean,
that's right.
If there's a monster in this world, it is definitely geese. They are terrifying. Let's be honest with each other. Real scary. For this episode, we are going to tie back to DMnastics number 121. Let's get monstrous. Your pop culture reference for today is Darkwing Duck. Go check it out.
Let's get dangerous.
Yep, and that's what I did. You figured it out.
Listen, when there's trouble, you call DW.
All right. The entire intro. Oh, no. I like that I did not take the entire intro. I took the 3-second clip where he says, let's get dangerous, and it's on the forums. Also on the forums is the idea of taking a monster and making it a playable race. There is a whole bunch of things, but I think we'll just kind of more freeform talk about what the forum brought to us, how I think it's an absolutely amazing way to approach this, and then, of course, we'll start lifting the mental weights once we're done with that.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I think this was awesome, Neil. You obviously challenged everybody to come up with a cool, monstrous race. And it sort of all, I guess it started with a picture, right? That's how the forum decided to go with it. Meribson posted this picture of a lobster folk. I guess is the way to put it, right?
Yeah.
It's this really cool drawing of what he is calling a nephrid, which is this humanoid lobster. It's got a net. Looks like maybe it's a fisherman of sorts, mm-hmm. Or a fisher person, a fisher lobster.
Yep.
Anyway, it's really cool, and sort of the forum took it from there and helped create things. Drew inspiration from knife fighting crabs and stuff like that. I was really impressed with this. One thing that we should mention is that they're not a playable race, but lobster folk do show up in the Tomb of Annihilation. Yes. There are a cursed people called Aldani that show up. So this also, I thought, was like, oh, this is great, because you could actually tie this right into Tomb of Annihilation. You could be a lobster folk if you're playing through that adventure.
Yeah. And I got distracted by looking a whole bunch at this image and kind of figuring it out where some of the lore came out of, that around the neck of this lobster person, and we can try to remember and keep calling them the nephrid. So the nephrid in the picture has like an old claw. And I say old because part of the lore is that these creatures keep growing. As soon as mm-hmm. There's essentially no room in their shell, they'll molt, grow larger over time, eventually becoming the size of ancient dragons. And that's an amazing way to have them turn into, and why they could be considered, air quote, a monstrous race. But around the neck of the kind of example one, there is a small, very small claw compared to its size. And that makes me think like, oh, this guy's a little baby claw on.
Yeah, it's like wearing your baby teeth in a pouch around your neck, except it's your arm, which it really does have this cool imagery, because the other thing about it is he's kind of got one big claw arm and then one sort of looks like maybe 3 or 4 fingered like hand going mm-hmm. there too. So it's an uneven looking dude. Well, I don't know. Maybe he has 2 claws, because he's got 2 hands. So maybe he's got 2 claws and 2 hands. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see the other claw on the other side, and then 6 legs. So it is a 10 appendage creature.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, there it is. Sorry, I missed that. I thought that was more legs, but you're right. This is quite the lobster. I'm really into it. Yeah, it was cool to see that, and it was cool. There was some more lore that came out, which was that relatively few surfacers see Nefrid and often do not realize they're interacting with juveniles. So like the big ones, the big Nefrids are enormous. They're the size of heavy war horses because they never stop growing. So usually if you see one on the land, and these are probably the type you're more likely to play if you're an adventurer, right? You're actually like a kid, which is really a cool way to play a child, quote unquote, a juvenile in a game without having to be like a small, frail individual.
And the idea that, you know, juvenile, teenage, much more adventurous. And then that's why they maybe go out in there with the party, because, you know, that's just what kids do. They want to go see the world. They want to learn things. The other idea that almost mechanically I would want to say, but, you know, it's still based on the lore, is that the larger these creatures get, the less likely they are to be on land, because that's how much heavier their shells are. So then being mm-hmm. inside the water, and as they grow larger, they actually kind of move deeper and deeper into the ocean. And it is so cool.
Yeah, it's funny. This was one of my favorite sort of monstrous races to read about, because it also got my DM brain going for adventures. And that, like, I was like, oh man, I would love for, like, you need to go to a retirement community that's deep, like at the bottom of the Mariana Trench deep, you know, and that is where you're going to find some super old Nefrid who is going to tell you about back in his day, what things were like and where you can find the magic sword you need to slay the big bad evil guy or whatever. I really like that.
Mechanically, I also love the idea of the players having some interaction. If you go back to, you know, your idea of tying it into the Tomb of Annihilation, you know, and so they meet these, what they think are kind of lobster men, and they have this interaction, and then all this stuff happens. And then later they meet one that is essentially the size of an ancient dragon, and like all of their preconceived notions like might go out the window. Like, what happened? How did we go from here to this? Like, was it a spell? It's like, no, this is just the natural process of this
race. Right. Yeah. Like, if you had never seen a human, right, and the first human you saw were babies, and then all of a sudden you met, like, an adult with a full beard, you know, or an old person, you'd be like, this becomes so weird, right? And I think it like, latching on to this, and if I were to play this as a player, I would want to latch on to sort of the alien nature, right? The sea might as well be another planet for us humans. And so I would really want to latch on to, like, hey, I'm a lobster person. I don't understand what fire is. We don't have that under the sea, right? So there's a lot of fantastic role play opportunity with the Nefrids as well.
Definitely. Let's see. I think we've done it, though. I think we've kind of showcased the Nefrid quite well. So that means...
Is it okay if I stop you, Neil? If I stop you for a second? I just want to give a quick shout out to Captain Dial-Up, who made their own race. It is the Stunted Slad. It is based on slads, and the idea that, like, man, this slad didn't get to become a full slad. And it's sort of, they made sub-races, right? There's a red, blue, green sub-race for each. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. There's a lot of stats here. There's not too much story, though. So I want to encourage people to head on over to the forums and help create the story of the Stunted Slad.
Yes, definitely go check those out, because that was the other option that I had thrown out there, taking something already in the Monster Manual and turning it into a playable race somehow. And the mm-hmm. Stunted Slad or Slod, depending on your taste, I guess.
I prefer to say Slod.
Slod.
Get the double A in there. Get the double A, yeah.
I don't like it, because those words could spell salad. And with that, though, we will start lifting the mental weights right now.
Lifting weights is what I do. Look at me. Lift these weights.
Today, to lift the weights, we are going to be talking about the Boggle. James, where did the Boggle come from most recently, and kind of why you thought it would be a good addition potentially to add as a playable monstrous race?
So boggles are a classic D&D monster that most recently appeared in Volo's Guide to Monsters, which is a monster book that came out for 5th edition, I guess, last year. Boggles are these little fey creatures that are born out of loneliness. And they materialize in places where the Feywild touches the world in proximity to an intelligent being that feels isolated or abandoned. I am reading verbatim there. So yeah, so, you know, like a lonely kid could bring a boggle into being if they live in a place where the barrier between the material plane and the Feywild is very thin. You know, they are monsters that are chaotic neutral. So they actually make sense, kind of, as a player race. I know there's a lot of GMs rolling their eyes at the chaotic neutral right now. They're small. They're like gray skinned, and they've got beards and bald heads and glowing orange eyes. They are super, super weird because they also excrete this non-flammable oil from their pores that can be slippery or sticky. And they can, like, you know, they got some fey tricks. They can create an oil puddle. They can become invisible, that kind of thing. I guess an invisible and immobile rift is what they can do in this edition. So yeah, they're pretty cool little dudes that are lonely, irksome pests. Which is why I think one would make sense in an adventuring party, because maybe Boggle comes into the world, somebody's lonely, it wants to make friends with that person, but then that kid gets some real human friends, and the Boggle then needs something to do, right? So the Boggle maybe joins an adventuring party because the Boggle's lonely, and then the Boggle learns to love, and friendship is the greatest treasure of them all. Boom.
So I feel like we're destined to attempt not to make a kinder. I feel like we can, but I believe in us. I believe in our ability to lift the mental weights and make something that people probably won't hate outright.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing for me, the thing that always makes a cool race is what can they do that other races can't, right? What is their archetypical thing? What is the thing that they do best? And I think in this case, I would really play up the boggle oil abilities. I would definitely give them the ability to create slippery oil and sticky oil, right? But I would also have them find a place in the world that either your player wants to play this and they're like a very unique thing, which makes it feel very cool, or build boggles into your world so that they, I don't know, have communities where they all get together and hang out. Or are they bad and this person's a good boggle? You know, like ask yourself those questions. How do boggles fit into my world and why would one be adventuring, right? That's where I would go with it.
Definitely. And the other thing that I would do, and you know, this would be, of course, step one, a player wants to play this race. Step two, mm-hmm. a second player is interested in this boggle possibly being developed because they were the person who felt loneliness.
Oh, I love that. It's sort of like this giving tree that follows you around. It's a boggle.
Yeah, and it's like the boggle was like, you know, and it was like literal cause and effect. Like, you know, this person felt so lonely, but then they're not lonely anymore because there's this person that goes around with them all the time. And essentially, like, that boggle is no longer like this embodiment of sadness because they're friends and they just go around in adventure and it's awesome.
Yeah, totally. The other thing that is awesome about the boggle is this dimensional rift that they can create. It's essentially, think Nightcrawler, like they can create a little rift that they can like move through and punch through and attack through and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think that is going to make people be like, I want to be a boggle because that's awesome. So you'll obviously need to think about how to balance that. Maybe make it a once per short rest kind of ability to see what else is going on. But man, they are cool little people.
Yeah, it's definitely, and I think that's the other thing that draws me towards it. I mean, of course, the Undermountain game is all of these small creatures, and I think adding a few more small creatures in, I mean, and adding some larger ones too, don't get me wrong, but kind of stepping a little bit away from medium and really opening up the doors on what you can have and what a character can do, I think is really, really fun as well.
Bam. I agree. Totally, totally cool. I can't wait. I'm going to play a Boggle, and the Boggle is going to ride on the shoulders like Pikachu of the person who brought it into the world.
That'll yes. Cool. It's just going to be in a little backpack like Yoda and Luke Skywalker.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry. Yeah, the oil does feel like the thing to really just draw into, because it can be, because that's the other thing about creating it. Correct me if I'm wrong, internet, which
you will.
Yeah.
You did not need to invite the internet to do that.
I'm over here. The idea of making something situational is helpful to, in a way, bring balance to what you're bringing to that class. You know, if it's just overtly powerful, then yeah, it's going to be a lot harder to balance it. But if it's situational, like the oil, then then I feel like it's a really good thing to add, because then when it's that character's time to shine, they get to use the oil. It's not, they get to blow something up. You're like, oh yeah, it's the Boggle. It's really good at just killing things. So it has extra kill damage. Yay for Boggles. And so that's the difficulty. And of course, finding something new and exciting is the difficulty as well. But I think like really focusing in on the oil and the different kinds, slippery or sticky, can be a really cool way to make this monstrous race and have it at your table. And now I really, really want to add a Boggle to everything I do.
I can't blame you. I do too. I'm going to play a Boggle cleric. It's going to be great.
That was my other thought for adding Boggles to your world, would be if you choose that Boggles are kind of prevalent in your world, also having a Boggle deity.
Mm.
And because they're already like this very interesting origin of, you know, this embodiment of loneliness and touched with the Feywild and all of these different things. I think having this Fey deity that they all are connected to in some way or that they know about would be another really interesting way to kind of develop the race a little bit more.
There you go. I like it. I agree with that completely. Give them a deity, especially if you're playing in a world like the Forgotten Realms where everything has a deity. Make sure Boggles have one as well.
Yep. The oil deity.
Yeah. Old BP, god of oil.
Yes. And the demigod of Exxon, Valdez.
That's right. Exactly. So.
And... cool. With that, though, I think we've done it. I think we've brought a race from 5th edition up to be a playable race at your table. Definitely figuring out the mechanics, but I think we've definitely figured out how to make it happen. So the question I have that is, of course, the most important for you, the Anonymous Goose, is where can people go to find all of the cool stuff you do on the internet? Or maybe at their friendly local gaming store eventually.
You can find everything I do over at don'tsplitthepodcastnetwork.com and at worldbuilderblog.me. And you can follow me on Twitter at my name, James Intricasso, no spaces, no nothing, just good old pure letters. Ooh, put those letters right into your brain and keyboard. So yeah, go check it out. And Neil has alluded to the fact that I contributed to Waterdeep Dragon Heist, which will be hitting stores this September, September 7th at Wizards Play Network stores, and September 18th worldwide. And I also contributed to Dungeon of the Mad Mage as well. So check that out when it comes out in October? November, I think. Yes, I did not have nearly as much to do. I contributed a chapter to Dungeon of the Mad Mage. I contributed a little bit more, or a lot more than that, I should say, to Waterdeep Dragon Heist. So that's always the one that pops up first. But both are excellent, and you should check out both, especially because Undermound's cool.
Yep, and it has a huge list of awesome people that helped contribute to make all of those things. So check those out. So if you want to tell us about how you are now introducing Boggles to your world, you can always email us at dmnastics@gmail.com, or you can head over to Twitter and follow us at dmnastics, where, of course, you can always get daily dmnastics to make sure you work out every day. And for everything else, head over to blockpartypodcastnetwork.com. And rather than let those mental gains go to waste, we're going to head over to Taking Your Supplements. Taking Your Supplements! So today on Taking Your Supplements, it's just me. All alone. Forever alone. Last part's not right. But what I'm going to talk about is an amazing book that I own in multiple formats. And that is none other than Sly Flourish's Fantastic Locations. It's as simple as that. The book delivers on the title. And I've used it multiple times in the Undermountain game that I've ran on stream and just different home games and things like that. So definitely go check this book out. It's 20 different locations that are fleshed out just enough to be able to drop them into any campaign. That said, the thing that you definitely need to go check out is audible.com, where you can find Sly Flourish's Fantastic Locations, and you can listen to it, because Rudy Basso from the Don't Split the Podcast Network and from DMnastics earlier, he went ahead and did the whole book, and you can listen to it, which is mind-numbingly convenient and totally what I've done before to kind of refresh my memory and quickly put those words back into my brain and be able to run it as efficiently as possible. But that's it. Super quick. I mean, the other idea, of course, is to check for other books that could be inspiration to you that you could listen to rather than have to physically read them, because that's awesome. So, audible.com and Sly Flourish's Fantastic Locations. But with that, we're going to turn out the lights and head out of the gym.
But above all that, I want to implore you, the listener, to join up on our forums and take part in these challenges and exercises, as well as all of the other amazing conversations being had.
To do that, head on over to dungeonmastersblock.freeforums.net to try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, "Do you even lift?"